Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
In the Hoosier Media Network studios.
The next generation in conservative talk radio. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. It is hour number two of your weekend edition for the Voice of Reason. So wonderful to have you with us as we continue to roll on here, advancing conservatism on a daily basis, trying to cram that 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag, trying to rebrand the millennial generation one radio listener at a time. So great to have you as we broadcast out of the Hoosier Media Network studios here in Wichita, Kansas, broadcasting on multiple radio stations all over the country from coast to coast with more jumping on each and every week. We salute you. To find all the information, if you're listening on podcast or TV or wherever and you want to find a local radio station near you, you can go to the website, HoosierReason.com, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason.com. You can also email me on the website or just at HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com and let me know what market you're in. Let me know where you're listening from. And if you want the radio show in your market, then let me know and we will try to do our best to make that happen for sure. The best way, by the way, I have gotten emails before to be like, how do I get you in my market? The best way is to call your local radio station, tell them about the show and say that you want them to pick it up, because I can reach out and pitch my show. But, you know, if they have to decide to want it, if the listeners actually tell them, hey, I want you to pick up the show, I really want it in our market, then they'll listen to you a lot more than they'll listen to just another sales pitch from another radio guy that's trying to get on their station. So it goes a long way. And we have had that happen in multiple markets that we're in right now. So thank you. Even with our partners that we have on the show, largely due to you, the listener, actually reaching out to clients and saying, hey, partner with this radio show because we're trying to do a lot of good and we like to have a lot of fun doing it all at the same time. All right, Brent Hamacek is joining the program at the bottom of the hour. He is the author of the latest book, Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War. We're going to talk about these protests that are still ongoing at many universities. Now, put this into perspective. And Chad, you mentioned that you're obviously a teacher. You have a couple weeks left of school. We're going into commencement ceremony season for graduation of colleges, many of which have been delayed or canceled altogether because of violent protests going on at college universities. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but imagine if you're a college student that spent 1, 2, 3, 4 years of college loan debt to go to college to get an education, and then you can't go to a commencement ceremony, or you just get booted out, and now you have to pay student loans back without having any type of degree. I know that feeling very well, not having a degree. Well, I have a broadcasting degree, but I have not a degree from a 4-year college that I went to originally and racked up $50,000 worth of student loan debt for. So I understand that and it hurts, but I did it because I chose to be stupid. You're doing it because you're choosing to be stupid and you haven't woken up to realize the error of your ways yet. So I'm sorry. By the way, this is a big weekend as well, a big holiday weekend. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I know that it's a great Mother's Day weekend. I have some special plans lined up for Mrs. Voice of Reason. Really excited about that. But first and foremost, I know that these are kind of like, and people are like, oh, this is nothing more than the greeting cards holiday for everybody to have to go get cards and flowers for their wives and mothers. And it's all made up. I'm telling you that now I think we should actually pay more attention to these holidays than ever before, because first, I commend you and I applaud you profusely for actually understanding what a mother actually is in today's times. We just come to that conclusion. The fact that we even have to do that at all, I applaud you for actually recognizing what a mother is and not taking the verbiage away and turning it into birthing person. You're not a birthing person. You're a mother. And a mother is one of the most important things in society, because if there were no mothers, then we would have died off a long time ago, obviously. So happy Mother's Day weekend. Do something special for them and make sure that while you openly annoy them the other 364 days out of the year, that one day you at least try to be nice to them. Mrs. Voice of Reason, she kind of sort of gets my humor. And sometimes we got to try and push those buttons. That's just what us dudes do. We got to push the buttons and see how far we can take our sarcasm and humor. And sometimes she does not appreciate that. So happy Mother's Day. And say it to your wife. Say it to your mom. Say it to your grandmom. And say happy Mother's Day. And enjoy this day. Because nowadays, we'll see how much longer that we're even allowed to have it. They got rid of Columbus Day. We'll see if they get rid of Mother's Day and Father's Day. Father's Day is already irrelevant to them because we're just ultra-masculine jerks. And we're just the heterosexual alpha males that they don't like. We have to be turned into beta males. We have to apologize for our masculinity. And the Father's Day is already irrelevant, and we're the evil spawn of society. So Mother's Day is the last hope to actually celebrate someone for just being somebody of value, which is a mom, not a birthing person. And that's all I've got to say about that. All right, let's get into our what's trending here, shall we?
It's your week in review.
So Donald Trump about ready to take the stage in Wildwood, New Jersey. We'll go to that live in a little bit if he does go on at the time that we're doing this program. But there's a lot that happened throughout this week that led up to this moment, especially on the campaign trail. One of them being the Washington, D.C. politics that so many people love to play. And that is, of course, with the attempted ousting of Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, has he betrayed Republicans? That is the ultimate question. Some conservatives obviously believing so, thinking that he has betrayed what we stand for as conservatives. And as someone who was a conservative voter for a very long time in the House of Representatives before coming Speaker of the House, it did not get any easier for him, as there is a one vote majority in the House of Representatives right now after Mike Gallagher from the state of Wisconsin ended up vacating and walking away, not even finishing his term, which is kind of ridiculous to me, but that's, I guess, what they like to do because they don't like the way things are going. They don't like the way politics is going. They just don't trust it. I don't know whatever their case is, but him walking away just this past month. So Republicans have a one vote majority. And with that one vote majority, they are trying to do, I would say, the best they can, at least to a degree. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, obviously not happy about it. And I'm not going to focus a lot of time on her because she has been one that I think is needed, while very frustrating and showing division within the Republican Party. It is kind of the Jiminy Cricket on our shoulder, whispering, reminding Republicans, hey, we need to stick to our values. Hey, we need to stick to conservatism. Hey, we need to do the right thing here. And hey, it may be unpopular in Washington, D.C., but we still need to do what's best for the Republican Party, because that's why Republicans voted us into power. And with that being said, Mike Johnson is now safe after they say that Democrats came to save him in this race, in this potential ousting. And that is true. At the same time, let's be realistic here. And while I understand the movement from Marjorie Taylor Greene, I understand the frustration against Mike Johnson, let's remember that right now in Washington, it's essentially we are in a lame duck session. We're in a lame duck session. We're going to be in a lame duck session for a while because they're about ready to go off into election mode during the summertime. They're not going to do a whole lot. Let's just be honest about it. They may try to pass something. They say the budget's going to be due by the end of September. More than likely, it's not going to happen. It hasn't been done in a very long time at that time frame. It's not going to be done again this year. We just passed our federal budget for this year, just 6 months into the fiscal year. So we're not going to see a lot actually get accomplished before election season. So now everything that's done in Washington, everything that's done, including this potential or this attempted ousting of Mike Johnson, is political for the candidates to use on the campaign trail. That's exactly what it is. And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality of it, because we won't see anything productive. I know immigration's one of those, like we talked about in the last hour, that's kind of an important issue, but we're not going to see anything come out of it, at least for now, because we're in election mode. So both Republican and Democrat that want to address this issue, it's not going to get done before elections. The budget, definitely not going to get done before the election. The farm bill, not going to get done before the election, although they say they are getting closer to that one. So we'll see whether that's actually the case or not. But Mike Johnson and my little B bar here that I wanted to play a clip on seems to not be wanting to load my page, but was on a podcast from Politico. The deep dive podcast from Politico recently, just this past week, talking about moving forward and talking about how he has this great relationship with Donald Trump and how he wants to continue to work on a conservative agenda and how he doesn't hold a grudge against those that tried to oust him. Now, again, I didn't think it was going to happen. And I'm honestly surprised that Marjorie Taylor Greene tried to oust him, even after saying that she would give him some time. But apparently, according to him now, he went to Marjorie Taylor Greene on the floor after the vote and said, "I'm still going to continue to work on conservative issues and I don't hold any of this against you." Which is awesome. Whether that actually happens or not, time will tell. But it will be interesting to see what they, how they actually approach the some of these issues that they say that they're working on. For example, the SAVE Act that was announced earlier this week with Chip Roy and Mike Johnson. Now, remember, Chip Roy is one that voted to oust Mike Johnson, but they sat together and made an announcement about the SAVE Act, which is to make sure that only citizens are able to vote in elections for this year. which is common sense. And again, it's a bill to reinforce a law that's already on the books. So I don't know why we have that in the first place, but that's what they've proposed. And they say that there's a wiggling of some of the federal rules to where if someone claims that they are a U.S. citizen or thinks that they are a U.S. citizen during the time that they go and actually cast their ballot, that they're going to be allowed to vote and it's going to be counted. And then afterwards they're like, oh, sorry, we thought we were, but we realized that now that we're actually not, that that's still okay and that we're allowed to actually count that vote, which I think is a little strange. So they presented the SAVE Act, which isn't going to go anywhere. But it's good that they presented it. Again, because they know it's not going to go anywhere and they want to use it for a political measure to try and win people over during election time that they want to secure the vote. See how this works? This is on both sides of the aisle. I support the SAVE Act. I wish we could get it done. It's not going to get done. Why? Because we have a one-vote majority in the House of Representatives, and there are 10 to 15 to 20 of these Republicans that predominantly vote with Democrats. So if they vote with Democrats, we're not going to see them actually get anything done. Jeffries, Hakeem Jeffries, was on 60 Minutes this past week. If you missed that one, don't recommend you go out of your way to go watch it. But he made a statement as well during that interview that said that Democrats essentially run the House of Representatives, that they're the ones that carry the vote to make things happen, that they're the ones that actually are unified to get stuff done. And I got to say, he's right. He's not wrong in that statement. Why? Because even with the one vote majority in the House, and regardless of how conservative that Mike Johnson may or may not be, there are a good handful of Republicans still that rather vote with Democrats than they do with Republicans because they see Republicans as extremists. They see Republicans as nuts. They see Republicans as conservatives, as the right-wing radicals. The fringe right is what they like to call him now. Trigger word of the day is what the media calls them. So we have to use, obviously, the media's terminology here. The fringe right that are pushing the envelope too far. Now, the envelope too far is basic conservatism and constitutionalism in today's times. But to them, that's fringe right. So there's always going to be those 10 or 15 that vote with Democrats. So with them, they have the majority. And I will give Mike Johnson credit where credit is due, where he's tried his best to try and handle the Democrats and the Republicans together with the slim majority that he actually has. And because of that, he's had to go further to the center, which obviously has upset the conservative base. Now, all of this is political, in the sense that Republicans need to hold their values and virtues to go into election season to prove that if they do get the majority, that they're going to do what they said they were going to do. Because I don't know if you're aware or not, we have a really bad history of that. We have a really bad record as Republicans of actually doing what we said we're going to do. If you remember when Trump first got into office, it was, oh yeah, we need the House and the Senate and the presidency. They gave us all of that, and then we still actually didn't get the agenda done that we needed to get done, because we ended up fighting against ourselves. And that's a bit of a concern. Yeah, that's okay, though. Maybe this time, right? Maybe this time. Marjorie Taylor Greene, while showing divisiveness in the Republican Party, is reminding conservatives of what we have to do. And Mike Johnson will have an easier time if we can get the majority, but Republicans need to prove to themselves and promise to us what they're actually going to get done.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. It's your Patriot on the Prairie. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yeah, buddy. Yes, indeed. It is the Patriot on the Prairie, broadcasting from right in the heartland of the nation, broadcasting all over the country on multiple radio stations all over the place. So we have the quandary of the Republican Party, the division between the two sides, the conservative, the moderates, the establishment, the wishy-washiness against the true conservatives. We got to remember that when we gave Republicans the House during Trump's administration, we gave it to them. Then they said, well, this was before Trump, by the way. Then they're like, well, we need the Senate, too, because we can't get anything done with one chamber. So we gave them that. Then they're like, well, we need the presidency because we don't have enough numbers to override all the veto stuff. So we gave them the House and the Senate and the presidency in 2020 with Trump. And what did we do? We didn't get squat done. We ended up bickering amongst each other. And thank God the vast majority of those guys are gone. We've seen the exodus of Rhino Republicans throughout the years. So we can at least say properly that we can give them the proper farewell here on this show. Because we really don't need them any longer, but we still have a few battles at hand. Mike Johnson talking about how he wants to focus on federal spending with conservatives moving forward for the end of this year.
Well, I can tell you, I've talked to a number of, House Freedom Caucus members and Chip Roy and others, and many of them have already accepted, we call it the FRA number, right? It's the number that was already negotiated. I think it's 1.606 or 1.621 trillion. I can't remember the exact number. But
now you're showing off.
Yeah. But there is a number that everyone has already agreed to. The thing that people rejected last time was the so-called side deals and gimmicks and all the other stuff on the outside. And what the commitment is, what we're trying to do, our endeavor is to actually write the bills at the number that was agreed upon without the other stuff on the side. And I think if there's a commitment on the front end to do that and to maintain that commitment through the House process, I think you'll get a lot of buy-in for it. I mean, I am a fiscal conservative, have been a lifelong fiscal conservative, and this is something that keeps me up at night. I want to get back to the way Congress is supposed to work.
Yeah, by the way, that was on a podcast, the Deep Dive podcast from Politico just a couple of days ago after the ousting vote that happened on the House floor that did not obviously happen and him wanting to move forward, still promote a conservative agenda. Definitely difficult to do so with only one vote majority, making things just a little bit complicated for sure. All right, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but just now, former President Donald Trump making his way to the podium in Wildwood, New Jersey, with 80,000 people showing up there for this rally. And Chad, let me know if you get weird feedback or if this doesn't sound good, but we'll try and go to this momentarily and see how this sounds live down there in New Jersey. For this weekend's rally.
Your help in saving America. Our country's in trouble. It's in big trouble. We've never been in trouble. We'll end up in World War III. These guys are grossly incompetent. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. You know in your heart that this country is not going to survive four more years of crooked Joe Biden. He's crooked and he's corrupt and he's incompetent. Other than that, he's doing quite a good job. Think of that. He's crooked. He's incompetent. He's the worst president we've ever had. Other than that, he's doing quite a good job. What do you think, Lawrence Taylor? Yes? Doing a great job. look at those two guys. OJ, Lawrence, my golfing friends. We don't have to agree on everything, but we can agree that we want strong borders, not open borders. We want the American dream, not the Biden inflation nightmare. We want safe communities, not defund the police and abolish cash bail. How about cash bail? Of course, with me, they probably want bail. Let's get Trump to put, I'll be the only one in the country to put up bail. And instead of Joe Biden's weakness and chaos, we want peace through strength like we had it just 4 years ago.
All right, there it is. That's Donald Trump at the latest rally down there in New Jersey going live to that. See the beauties of having a live weekend program, which is very few and far between, talking about these current events. And we're the honor. Everything always happens during this time slot, which is amazing. So we appreciate that. Donald Trump down there, 80,000 people and right out of the gate, man. I love how he banters. Think Joe Biden could do that? Last time he just went off the rails and bantered. He talked about children touching his hairy legs and sitting on his lap or something. So, sorry, I'll take this guy. Right back here on The Voice of Reason.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. Can you imagine, man, this show flies right on by. So much more to talk about, so little time to do it as we continue to...
We'll do it live!
That's the way we roll here each and every weekend. So great to have you on the weekend edition of The Voice of Reason. Still watching this Trump rally going on in New Jersey. Man, they are fired up, and Donald Trump loves to have a lot of fun with that one for sure. Again, I asked the question, I don't think Joe Biden could do an off-the-cuff rally like that. Now, he's got his teleprompter, and he reads his stuff, but then he just kind of goes off and does his rants, and he does like a full-on like hour-long thing, and 80,000 people rocking it out in New Jersey. You can see how well, especially on the East Coast, imagine just the introduction of what he said that we played here a little bit ago when we went live to it, was he's talking about immigration. That shows that immigration is the number one between the economy and immigration, the top two issues that everybody's addressing, even in New Jersey when they're not even a border state. And imagine how important that is. But yet at the same time, what are the Democrats doing? Desperate to win over their voters, desperate to win back over their identity politics, their nice little boxes of groups that they've controlled for all these years, desperate to keep them in check. They're trying to win over the young voters by student loan bailouts. They're trying to keep the Jewish voters by pretending to support Israel. They're really trying to win back over the Muslim population after saying that they stand with Israel, but yet they support the pro-Palestinian protests and the havoc and the chaos and anarchy that's ensuing on college campuses right now, which is where we go with our next guest here on The Voice of Reason.
Let's go to the Hoosier Media Hotline.
What are we seeing with the college campuses right now? Now, I, again, live in Kansas. Kansas University has protesters. Even Wichita State University, not a big school at all, has protesters right now that are still ongoing. Doesn't get a lot of attention because they're mostly peaceful. But we've had commencement ceremonies that are being delayed or canceled all over the country right now. The violence, we've had almost 3,000 students or I take that back, protesters, a lot of them aren't students, being arrested by law enforcement. And then, of course, then we get used as some type of like evil police state because we're not allowing them to literally take over buildings and create another CHAZ or CHOP or CHAZ or whatever that was up in the Seattle area, which we're broadcasting in right now as well, by the way, when they took over streets in downtown Seattle. That, yeah, we don't allow that. Sorry, we're not allowing that type of behavior. You're there to go to school. You're there to learn. If you want to protest, you can peacefully. But where's this all coming from, and what's the deeper meaning of all this? Happy to have on the program. He's been with us during our weekdays show, but we had to bring him on the syndicated national show here, as he is the co-author of Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War. Happy to have on with us here, Mr. Brent Hamacek. Brent, how are you, my friend?
I couldn't be any better. It's nice to be back with you, and happy pre-Mother's Day yes. Saturday, I guess. Mother's yes. Day Eve. Happy
Mother's fall. Day Eve. I like it. I think, and I was saying this earlier, I think that Mother's Day is going to be a more important holiday every year, because now we actually have to define what a mother is nowadays. They're not just a birthing person, right, Brent?
Well, true, and then we'll ultimately get to the point where we're not even allowed to define it. Right. Yeah. So the definition, we're going to get to the point where we have dictionaries, where we have a word and then we have pronunciation. And then for the definition, we'll have a question mark because we're moving away from absolutes and true meaning to everything being sort of exactly whatever it is you want it to be. So define it yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's I guess we can just be anything that we want to nowadays. I feel like I'm a rich millionaire with a Ferrari in my front yard. And when I get done with the radio program, I'm going to walk out there. And if I don't see it, then I am a victim of the oppression of society, man, because that's the way that we live in today's times. It's a crazy one for sure. Yeah. Let's talk about these protests and the pro-Palestinian, these anti-Israeli protests. I get it. Freedom of speech. I was a college kid once. I ran the college Republicans. We held rallies. We like to poke the bear. We like to ruffle feathers. But these have been taken to an entirely new level. And like usual, Brent, when some of these major protests happen, then all over the country, we see this exact same signage. We've seen all the same tents. We've seen all the same talking points. In fact, they have a national group that has their four demands that are the parallel and universal for all of the demands for all the universities across the country. There's something a little weird about this. Who's actually putting this all together, do you think?
Well, there's something weird about it. I guess you could call it weird. But let's just stop and get serious about this and put blame where it belongs. And allow me to always sort of be unpopularly specific and dark. So there's no question. We know that we know a lot of folks have done some great journalism. We know that there's Soros money behind this. We know that there is militant Islamic money behind this in terms of, printing signage and having sandwiches delivered and all that other happy nonsense you need to have a good old-fashioned riot. But now I live in the Chicago suburbs. And if I get a phone call tomorrow and it comes from somebody who says, hi, I'm with George Soros, but I never actually said that, but I've got an offer for you. I'm going to give you a stipend of $50 a day. I'm going to get a nifty new T-shirt. I'm going to buy you three sandwiches, and you'll have all the toilet paper you need. And what I need you to do is go to Northwestern University, going to round up a bunch of other folks, and we're going to want you to take over the administration building, barricade the doors. While you're in there, we want you to smash as much as possible. And feel free, if anybody gets near you, to either insult them, hit them, or throw something at them. What do you say? My answer is going to be no. But the answer of thousands of young people, whether they're students or being imported to campus, their answer is, you bet, sign me up. So what's really going on? What's really, really going on is simple. We have given young people on these campuses and offer them coming to them a legitimate excuse to get together with other students and express hatred without consequence. There's no consequence. And humans don't do well, regardless of their age, when there's no consequence. This is what we are. And so I would argue that what's behind all this, human nature is behind it. And there's just folks tapping into it. Rather dark answer on a Saturday, but perhaps we have mothers around the country who needed to do better.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the lack of consequence is a major one that we've mentioned a lot on the show. When do you think we've lost the lack of that? And when we talk about abortion issues and social issues, when we talk about, I mean, I'm a millennial, I'm 35. I grew up as one of the first participation trophy generations to where everything that I did was okay. We got the participation trophy. It's not me personally, but the generation as a whole that, you know, our parents wanted to be more friend and try and protect us as the helicopter parent that actually guide us and teach us and tell us what's wrong or right. And we forgot about the concept of there's a reaction to an action. There's a cause and effect. There's a consequence to an action. We forgot these basic things of physics and of life, and now we're just doing whatever we want to without that consequence. If I eat a whole bag of M&Ms every single day for my entire meal, then I'm going to get really sick. Now I think the government needs to pay for my universal health care because how dare I'm sick, and it's not fair that I have a heart issue. Like, that's the world that we live in today, and it's kind of weird to me.
Right, and the how we got here part, you know, there's a number of ways to combat the question that you ask. I do think that perhaps if you and your audience are intrigued by your question, you might enjoy my book, because there's a lot of different ideas about how we've gotten to where we are today in America within it. But I'm a simple man, so I'm going to choose a movie explanation for how we got here, because I think it summarizes it. So, big fan of all the Rocky movies. And there's a beautiful scene in the third movie where Rocky wants to fight Mr. T, Clubber Lang. And his manager, Mickey, is telling him not to fight him. And they're sitting together, and Rocky says, "Why don't you want me to fight this guy? I've had all these title defenses." And Mickey says, "Look, those were easy. They were handpicked." And he said, "When you were young," he said, "you were supernatural. You were hungry." He said, "But then the worst thing that can ever happen to a fighter happened to you. You got civilized." And you can make it everything you see taking place in today's America come down to, we got a little too civilized. We're soft. We live in the most opulent moment of all of human history and place, right? This is it. And here's what we've learned. When mankind doesn't have to scratch a bit, when mankind doesn't have to suffer and work a little bit, when there is no price to be paid, then we simply have if we have no price to pay, all that's left for us to do is take.
Yeah.
And boy, do we take, because we're a little too civilized and we're a little too soft, and we're not really set up to fight Clubber Lang. In that metaphor, I'm fond of saying this is not Sparta. And with that came a culture of self-determination and personal responsibility. This is not that.
Yeah, that is very true. I'm right there with you. There's a social media trend floating around right now where they say that how many times do you think of ancient Rome? And all these girlfriends or wives are asking their boyfriends or husbands about this. How often do you think of ancient Rome? Do you think this ties into it? We got about a minute here before we have to take a break. But do you think that that's relevant nowadays when we're so soft that the basic male objective is to conquer, dominate, and build something and create something? We don't have that outlet right now, so we think about the good old days when we could.
Well, there's people like to talk about ancient Rome. They like to talk about revolutionary France and the chaos that ensued. Here's what I would say. I make an argument in the book that history does not repeat itself. There are no cycles or pendulums, but human behavior is constant. And to the extent we can draw lessons, we can draw the lesson that says, if we lose notions of personal responsibility, and if we get too comfortable as individuals or as a nation, we'll fall.
Yeah, it's a great point. Brent, hang on the line here. I want to continue this conversation if we can. It's Dissidently Speaking is the book. You can find it online at dissidentlyspeaking.com. Fascinating conversation on what the trends may show moving forward and what we're seeing in society today. We'll do some more of that when we come back. One more segment right around the corner for the weekend edition of The Voice of Reason. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. America's safe space for common sense. This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Common sense, reason, rationale, that's just what we do here on this show. I want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. You've heard of Big Pharma. You've heard about some of the big corporations getting in bed with the federal government, trying to propose and enforce their own agenda. The woke mob, the woke companies that are destroying the economy, creating this new social program, the new social credit score for you and I. We can fight some of that, and we do that by supporting businesses that give us the same great service that we live for and that we utilize each and every day, but we do in a sense where we support a business that actually has the same values as us. That's what Patriot Mobile does. You can go to patriotmobile.com/reason with my promo code, patriotmobile.com/reason, R-E-A-S-O-N. You can get free activation. You also get great discounts if you're a veteran, if you are a first responder. If you have a large family with multiple lines, you'll get some great discounts there as well. And you can support a great company that supports the values that we have. They're the only Christian conservative network out there. They use all the networks that are out there, so all the great nationwide 4 and 5G coverage. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service, and they help support great conservative organizations that you and I support each and every day. It's a no-brainer. You spend your money on a service that you utilize already, get the exact same service, get a great phone, and get everything done. You can keep your same phone as well and just transfer all the data and service over to Patriot Mobile. It's a no-brainer. It's kind of the reasonable thing to go do. Go to patriotmobile.com/reason with my promo code. Get that free activation and all the great perks now. patriotmobile.com/reason. Great partners with us right here on The Voice of Reason. We have a couple minutes left here with Brent Hamacek, author of the book Dissidently Speaking, Change the Words, Change the War. You can find it online at dissidentlyspeaking.com. We talk about the softness in society and how we just have, and you're right, we have to fight for everything. We're no longer trying to survive, because if we were in survival mode of where are we going to find our next meal, are we going to be attacked by somebody, what's going to happen, then we wouldn't be worrying about things like, are they a birthing person or a woman, so to speak? Because that's a stupid conversation to have, for one, and that we don't have time to think about that garbage when we're actually in build mode, creative mode, and survival mode there. So, Brent, I got to ask you in the last couple minutes that we have is we always talk about, and everybody talks about this cycle of, you know, the good times create the weak men create the rough times, the rough times create the hard men create the good times, and the cycle goes on and on. We're in the good times that's creating the weak men right now, and it's starting to go into the hard times. Are we going to see humanity, Americans, rise to the challenge again to fix the government, to fix these issues, to fix what's being broken right now, to create another cycle of good times, do you think?
Well, the short answer is I don't know if we'll see it, but I do know we're not in a cycle. And the cycle you refer to is a common one. I understand it. But I make the argument, and I make it with a good deal of passion, that cycle doesn't exist. It appears to exist. If you think about that cycle, here's what we see. We see throughout history, we see nations sort of rise and fall. Remember, we didn't have nations, actually, for most of our history. We had empires and territories and kingdoms and so on. But, you know, you'd say, well, it's a cycle. Well, some of those cycles seem to last thousands of years. So what we really live in, and you have it in your piece while I'm on hold, you talk about cause and effect, We live in a world of cause and effect. And what, but again, human behavior is constant. So the real question here is, are we going to have enough people who care enough about individual liberty, who are interested enough to do something about trying to restore individual liberty and push back against a totalitarian threat? Are they willing to become causes? Because most people in America today are simply nothing more than effects. And we have very few people willing to become causes. Becoming a cause, mind you, requires effort and risk. And we are so comfortable. I sit in a room in front of a 95-inch television screen that literally in moments will give me a choice of thousands of programs in high definition. Yeah. How much risk do I want to take?
It's a great point. And the people that do want to start a cause and actually do something, a lot of them have forgotten how to actually be productive at that as well, which is why, hence, we're seeing protests right now where chanting and starving yourself with a sign is apparently going to stop Netanyahu and Israel from creating some kind of conflict in the Middle East while you're sitting on Columbia University trying to take over some college building and destroying private property. It's a weird thing that we're in, and you know, a hashtag on social media isn't going to change the world. We have to figure out how to be activists and really change things all over again. It's Dissidently Speaking. Change the word, change the words, change the war. Dissidentlyspeaking.com. Brent, such a great honor to talk to you again, my friend. I love the conversation. We got to do it again real soon. Wrap it up for the day. Appreciate it very much. Back at it again next weekend for another episode of the weekend edition of The Voice of Reason. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.